Be not afraid. Be not afraid. The call to religious life and the priestly life can be terrifying. We have the world stacked against us. We have everything trying to tell us what will truly make us happy. And we look around and we may not have many examples of saintly, holy priests and religious. So we might not even think that this is a real thing anymore, that this is a real living vocation. But the call to perfection is as real today as it was when our Lord called his first apostles. When we look in the mirror of our hearts, we might see so much sin and brokenness and think that that somehow disqualifies us from a life of service to our Lord and to Our Lady. But the very opposite is the truth. It is because of our brokenness and because of our woundedness that God calls us. And he calls us to something so fantastic that it drives away every fear, every reservation, every hesitation, because we're not following some historical figure. We're following the living, true Word of God, Jesus Christ himself, a living divine person whose heart is beating in heaven right now with love for you. This is the one that we're following. Look at the call of St. Matthew in the Gospels. St. Matthew sitting in the tax office just another day. And remember, he was one of the most hated people in that society because he was known for cheating and defrauding his own people. Yet that was the man that Christ called because he saw the good that is in him. And our Lord only says two words. He walks by St. Matthew and he says, "Follow me." And that was enough for St. Matthew that day to get up, leave everything, and follow him. There's a whole lot more going on in that story than just those two words. You have to imagine that that may have been the only time that anyone had actually looked at him with love. Think about the way that our Lord looked at him that day. He didn't see the sinner. He didn't see the tax collector, the defrauder, the cheater, the liar. He saw the future priest. He saw his beloved son, for whom he was going to shed all of his blood. And fascinatingly, St. Matthew puts his call in his gospel. He records it right in the middle of the miracles that our Lord's working. It's as if St. Matthew is trying to say, healing a leper, giving sight to the blind, raising someone from the dead, walking on water, those are all miracles. But as great of a miracle as that is the fact that God could call me, that Jesus Christ could call me to be a priest of himself. I think we often overcomplicate the call to religious life and the priestly life. I think we over-discern and we overthink about all of this. It's far more simple than we make it out to be. Look again at the call of St. John and St. James. And our Lord is on the shore, and he calls out to them. And Christ says, "Follow me." And interestingly, St. John mentions these two tiny little details. He says, "Immediately, leaving the boat and their father, they followed him." The boat is a symbol of the world, of career, of ambition, of all of our expectations of what we think our life should be. And their father is a figure of the one whom they respect most, whose opinion they care about most, the person whose lineage they are supposed to carry on. And St. John says, they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. If you're discerning a vocation to the priesthood and religious life, I would encourage you to read something of the Holy Gospels every single day. Never let a day go by where you don't read something from the Gospels. You can read all the vocations pages in the world, but if you're not reading the Gospels every day, then you're missing our Lord. That is where the living Word of God will speak to you. Even if it's just a few verses every day, that is where you will encounter most intimately the true living Jesus Christ, who loves you right now and is calling you. And if you find yourself, every time you hear a vocations talk, or maybe even watching this video, if you feel like everyone in the room is looking at you, even if you're the only one in the room, that might be a sign that the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you something, that there's something deep within you that can't be satisfied by anything else but His will. Jesus Christ said that unless the grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it cannot bear fruit. And to the world, that is madness. To the world, that doesn't make sense, because death is the greatest fear. Death is the worst possible thing. Jesus Christ says, unless you die, you will not live. There is no resurrection without Good Friday. There is no empty tomb without the wood of the cross. And there is no freedom without surrendering everything to our Lord's will. That can be scary. I have been terrified myself many, many times. But the place where I have found the greatest strength and the greatest hope, especially as I was discerning my vocation before I entered the monastery, my place of solace and refuge was adoration and time with the Blessed Sacrament. Because when I would go before our Lord and I brought Him all of my fears, all of my anxieties, every what if, it's like they all melted away. Because I was in the presence of the one true God. And Christ is calling right now men and women to fashion them after Himself. But that is only possible through the Virgin Mary. Think about how God became man. Okay, the one true man, Jesus Christ, the one true man. How did He choose to become man? By becoming incarnate of the Virgin Mary. Jesus said, follow me in all ways. Well, what about that first moment of His earthly existence? Should we not follow Him there? How, Jesus, did you become a man, the man? You took your flesh, you clothed yourself with the body and the blood of the Virgin Mary. You entered into her very womb, and then you came forth from her as a little baby. And then you returned to her breast as a child. And you live with her 90% of your life. Jesus Christ is giving us the model for every priest, every religious, every vocation, no matter what you're called to. We have to go to her and let her fashion us in His image. She is the only one who knows how to make Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what she does to us. I make a promise to you, and this is not on my own behalf, but on Our Lady's behalf. If you pray at least 15 decades of the Holy Rosary every day, you will find God's will for your life. I guarantee you. Remember what she said to Juan Diego when she gave the Telma. And Juan Diego told Mary, go find someone better. I'm not worthy. Remember what Our Lady told him. She said, listen, my humblest son, is it not I, your mother, who am here? You have nothing to fear. And Our Lady and our Lord tell us that same thing today. If when you look at a crucifix, you find yourself drawn in a way that you can't even explain, but when you see our Lord hanging on the cross, if you hear in the depths of your heart a voice that says, follow me, join me on this cross, if you find yourself drawn in a way that you can't explain, then you need to pursue a religious vocation. You need to look into it. You need to come and see. Think about how our Lord called the other apostles. Come and see. You cannot discern from your bedroom. You cannot discern simply from your home parish or your school or from your car or your friend's house. God speaks in the present moment. He speaks in the here and the now. The devil lives in the past and the devil lives in the future. But God alone is the eternal now, and He lives right here. He is with us right now in this moment, and He communicates His grace only in the present moment, where we are, exactly as we are. I give you this advice that if you think that you have discerned a religious vocation and you've never visited a religious community, then you have not discerned a religious vocation. Discernment starts when you show up, and that is where God speaks to you. That is where He will communicate the deepest longings of His sacred heart for you. And that is where He will speak to you heart to heart. I remember I had a rather amazing phenomenon when I went on my first come and see at the monastery that I'm in now. And please God that I will always be at. I've always wanted something greater. I've always wanted to do more and more and more and better and better. Nothing was ever good enough. There was this insatiable hole in my heart. But when I was on my first come and see visit, I remember being in my room at the monastery, and I was terrified. I was like, what am I doing in a monastery right now? But I was in my room at the monastery, and I experienced this phenomenon that I never had in my whole life. I remember thinking, wait a second. I'm not asking myself the question, what's next? I'm not asking myself, where do I go from here? What's the next big thing? What's the better thing? The on and on and on. I had finally found peace. As our Holy Father, St. Augustine, says, our heart is restless until it rests in You, O Lord. And I believe that's the ordinary way that God communicates His will. That's the ordinary way, I believe, that we find and discover our vocation. When we find that the restlessness finally stops. It's like our Lord being in the boat and the storm is raging and everyone is afraid. And He stands up, rebukes the winds, and He says, peace be still. I believe that is the ordinary way that God wants to speak to every single one of us. So if you're discerning a vocation, do not be afraid. You are not alone, besides the fact that there have been thousands and thousands and thousands of souls, trust me, far weaker and far less qualified than you for a life of service to our Lord. You are wrapped in the very mantle of the Mother of God. You have nothing to fear. St. John Bosco famously said that of every three children born, at least one has a vocation to the religious or consecrated life. Think about that. One in three, at least, according to this great saint. In St. John Bosco, fascinatingly, about one exact third of all the boys and girls that went through his orphanages and his schools became priests and religious. This vocation is not rare. What's rare is the response of a generous, loving heart. The yes, the unequivocal yes. That's what's rare, but it doesn't have to be. In the Gospels, his first apostles, he picked Peter and Andrew, James and John. He picked brothers. So the idea even that only one in a family could ever become a priest, that doesn't seem to be what our Lord's guiding principle was. Our Lord said, anyone who loves mother and father more than me is not worthy of me. And Jesus said, anyone who gives up mother and father, brothers and sisters and lands for my sake will receive 100-fold in this life and eternal life in the life to come. Jesus said, not only if you give up everything will I reward you 100 times over in this present earthly life, but I will also give you eternal life. And I have experienced in giving up everything. And I had great opposition from my family at first, and it was a very painful thing. You know, you want to make your family proud. And I will say the happy news to that story is now my family is my greatest support system. My mom and my dad tell me all the time how proud they are of me, that I resisted kind of their pulls not to go to the religious life. And they thank me for doing God's will against all odds. I have experienced some of that 100-fold that our Lord promised. I had everything that the world could give, but again, my heart was yearning for so much more. And even in my short religious life so far, I can tell you it's not easy. It is truly a cross, but it's also full of the greatest possible joy. Joy that I didn't even know was possible in this life. My heart has never been more at peace. My heart has never been more still. As I was discerning before I entered the monastery, I had this image brought before my heart of thousands of souls. And our Lord said, in a way that was just loving and gentle and kind, he said, the salvation of these souls depend upon your yes. And that struck me like a freight train. I was like, Lord, you're telling me that my yes can have that much of a difference? That it really can be the difference in life and death for a soul that you have made in your own image and likeness? Like, yes, Lord, I will. How can I not? Like, what greater thing could you do with your life than to give your life for the salvation of souls in the glory of God? And that is the glory of God. As St. Irenaeus said, the glory of God is man fully alive. I am poor, chaste, and obedient. I am, by all earthly accounts, not free. And yet, I have never been more alive in my life. Every day I come more alive, because the glory of God is man fully alive. In conclusion, a few practical points again. Read something of the Holy Gospels every single day, even if it's only a few verses, because that is where you will encounter our Lord. And go and visit him in adoration and bring him all of your worries and your fears. And you will hear him say those eternal words, be not afraid. Pray the Holy Rosary, the whole Holy Rosary, every single day. And I promise you, Mary will lead you to the greatest happiness possible, not just eternally, but in this life. And finally, you cannot discern from your bedroom. You cannot discern from your computer. Discernment happens the moment you show up to a monastery or a seminary, because that is where God will speak to you. And so I will tell you what our Lord said to his apostles some 2,000 years ago, which he repeats and utters for all eternity to those whom he is calling to form after himself. Come and see.